Hey there, and welcome to the She Calls Her Shots podcast. Every week, we chat through different business building topics that will help you gain clarity around your goals, find inspiration in your journey, and also help you create a life and a business that you love. My name is Krista, and I'm a wedding and brand photographer and your go-to no-fluff business coach. In these episodes, we talk through both the tactical strategies, habits, and the mindset work that'll help you take those really big leaps. And we always focus on the real talk and the behind the scenes of what it takes to create a sustainable and a thriving business. Because let's be honest, the work isn't always glamorous, but it's always worth it. So girlfriend, let's make some moves and start calling our own shots. Hey there, and welcome back to this episode of the She Calls Her Shots podcast. I am so thrilled for this guest episode today because I am speaking with Ashley all about our client experience process and our systems and the framework that our entire business is built upon. And I know that oftentimes as business owners, sometimes we really struggle to figure out how to differentiate ourselves from our competitors, right? Like, how do we stand out in a market when there are so many other people who do what we do, and we really want to offer that unique and personalized client experience? And a big part of how we can create that experience comes from the way that we streamline our businesses. Sometimes the work that we need to do that's going to make the biggest difference and impact on the outside of our business is actually the things that we're doing behind the scenes that people aren't even necessarily aware of. But I know from speaking with other creatives, sometimes it can feel really overwhelming to implement new systems and processes and figure out what is the thing that works for me. That's the question that we all ask, right? Like, so and so does it this way, this person does it like this. And we can sometimes just feel really overwhelmed in trying to figure out the perfect system and the perfect framework of how we want to structure things. But the key here is to start small and to focus on the most pressing pain points before you start to gradually expand and improve other areas of your business. It all kind of starts with just fixing that one thing, the biggest pain point that you have right now, getting it really streamlined and figuring out how that works for you. And usually that creates a blueprint and a map for how the rest of your process is going to look. So that's exactly what we're talking about in today's episode. And so my guest host is Ashley Tindall, and she is the CEO and founder of Solution Integrators. And she really is an expert in helping other entrepreneurs and creatives elevate their systems and their client experiences. And she has a background in project management and business analysis, and she works with business owners to really pick apart and figure out how they do business, deep dive into every step of their client journey, and to then build a system and a tool suite that they love. So her specialty is really working with business owners to scale their businesses beyond six figures by helping them optimize their client journeys, streamline their processes, provide that project management support, and find the tools that work for you. And she's so dedicated to her work, and she's so transparent, and I love her energy. You're going to hear that in the interview today and in our conversation. But she really has just become a go-to resource for other entrepreneurs who want to uplevel their business and create lasting success. So during our chat today, Ashley really does kind of dive in and share her tried and tested system that can help you not only save time, but also streamline those processes and also just boost your client experience and your own satisfaction as a business owner. So if you're struggling to keep track of your business processes, or if you just want to learn how to better automate or start to figure out how to create those bigger systems and frameworks inside of your business, I'm so excited because Ashley shares so much of her process, and I know that you're going to gain something really great from it. So all that said, let's go ahead and dive right into our call with Ashley. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I enjoy talking about systems. I'm sure you enjoy talking about systems probably more than I do. But we were just talking before I hit record, and I feel like even though I've been in business for 12 plus years, this is still something that I am learning the importance of as my business grows. I guess as your business grows, you really start to feel the effects of it because things don't scale as easily as you'd like them to. So I'm really excited that we're having this conversation today because I feel like sometimes we just don't realize the time opportunity that we could have on the other side, like the decreased level of stress, the just the level of clarity we can get around our offers yeah. when we have to do all this. So I just feel like listeners are going to walk away with so many tips. So yeah, so thank you again so much for being here.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel no matter what phase of your business, when you get bogged down with so many things or trying to wear all the hats, you know, kind of start to lose sight of why you started your business in the first place sometimes. So, you know, having systems and automations and clear processes in place will help you to kind of step back into that. Hey, I'm building a business that I love, you know, the business that I dreamed of. So yeah, I'm super excited to talk all things systems. I could geek out forever, but yeah, excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah. And it really lets you, like, I think, step into that CEO role, like whenever you like have systems in place, which is so big. But yeah, so let us get to know you a little bit, share a little bit about you, anything kind of what brought you here, how your business came about, let us get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah. So I'm Ashley. So I'm the CEO and founder of Solution Integrators. I help female entrepreneurs scale beyond six figures through the power of client journey improvements, process improvements, project management support. In a nutshell, at the core of everything that I do is highlighting and showcasing who you are, you know, as the unique and dope CEO that you are, throughout every phase of your client journey. So I started my business in February of 2021. So it's peak pandemic. At the time, I was working at a healthcare IT company. I had been there for about almost 10 years at the time, and wasn't really looking to do anything different. But I had a friend of mine that was a business coach. She would push her clients to use certain tools, but she had no interest in setting the tools up for them. And so just knowing me, she's like, you know what? You pick up on things just easily. Do you think you could help me with this client? Of course, now looking back, I really think it was her way of kind of forcing me out of a comfort zone, right? I've always had this knack for wanting to just figure things out and just help people, right? Help people see people win is what I like to say. And so I started out with her client. She was a doula, not very tech savvy at all. She was manually sending out invoices. She would print off paper records and documents and, you know, upload them to Google Drive and send it out and say, hey, can you fill this PDF out? So I dove in and taught myself Dubsado, taught myself ClickUp, Asana, Airtable, and kind of haven't looked back since. So it has been such a roller coaster ride. After about a year and a half in business, I decided to leave my 9-to-5. So I am a full-time entrepreneur since about July of last year. It has been amazing. It's been scary. It's been all the things, all the feelings. But, you know, having clear and documented processes in place allowed me to be able to feel confident in leaving my, you know, 9-to-5, taking on more clients. And now I'm in that phase of business where, okay, I can only do so much as a solopreneur. So now it's time to hire a team, right? But again, going back to having clear and documented processes and systems in place allows me to now hire a team, serve more people, and still do less, which is like my goal. I always want to, you know, serve everybody I can, but do what feels good to me in the same manner. So. Mm-hmm.
Hey friend, I want to make sure you know about my upcoming free workshop, Seasons of Growth. This workshop is going to be super valuable to photographers that want to learn how to maintain a thriving photography business in the midst of the slower seasons. I know how frustrating it can feel when inquiries aren't coming in, especially when you see other photographers booking out their sessions consistently. This workshop is going to be classroom style and super interactive, meaning that you're going to get real-time coaching from me on how you can create more momentum and visibility inside your business, meaning more inquiries coming in and more booked clients. These are the same strategies that I've used to help my one-to-one clients book more sessions, and I'm bringing them all to you during the workshop. You can learn more and save your spot by visiting heykristamarie.com/workshop. I can't wait to see you there. Yeah. Also, I just have to pause and say, I love that you say you love to see people win. That is like the greatest. Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah.
And it really does. It makes so much of a difference to your point of getting everything in one place and just taking all of the thought out of it. And I can share a little bit. I had mentioned this before we started recording. I almost started talking about it and I was like, let me save this for the interview. I, for the last while, have been using HoneyBook as a CRM and had a lot of feelings about it that I won't talk about here, but I was like, I need a different CRM. I need to kind of migrate over to something new. And so I'm now using 17 Hats, but then that required me to learn a whole new system and a whole new process. But the beautiful thing about that is it also forced me, because I wasn't really using my past CRM as a proper way of really documenting things. And so this actually forced me to sit down and figure out, what are all of these steps? How am I going to automatically trigger, you know, automations into the next process? And it really forced me to sit down and do that. And to speak to the confidence, I actually just finished it. This was like one of those things where it was two late nights in a row where I was like, I'm going to get this done.
I'm going to get it
done. Yeah, I'm going to get this done. So I like sat and I did it. I put myself through it as a test run, just manually triggering things. But at the end of it, after seeing all of the emails like populate like they should and getting the things, like truly was thinking, if I was on the other side of this and I was a client and this is the experience that I got all the way through, oh my gosh, like my price point now just like elevated so much just in the experience that I know that I'm going to be able to provide. But so often we just, oh, I know what I need to do, I'll do it later. And it's just like the level of stress that it adds, like we're not as proactive with our clients, we're just all of these things, it kind of just spirals. And so, yeah, it's just really when you can feel the win on the other end of that, of, oh my gosh, this actually does help so much. It's just, it's a whole different game.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I meet with so many different clients, so many creatives who are amazing at what they do, right? Like, you're the dopest photographer, the dopest doula out there, right? But you just aren't good when it comes to, you know, tech, or you have it all in your head and how you want things to look and feel and flow. And sometimes by having a disjointed or clunky client experience, that can overshadow the actual service that you're providing, right? Like the transformation that you're providing. And so I smiled when you said you walked through your processes first and figured out everything and then implemented the tool, because that's always, you know, I will harp on that too. I meet a lot of people that try to force themselves into a tool. But I like to say, you know, always start with your processes. What type of experience do you want to provide, right? What transformation do you want to provide from the moment someone inquires and says, hey, I'm interested, right? Like, hey, I want to work with you, all the way through to goodbye or see you later. What do you want that to look like? And then go find a tool that helps support that. Mm-hmm. Instead of forcing yourself into a tool and, you know, you're like, well, I got to just do what this tool does because I don't have a choice. So that's awesome. I can go on forever.
Yeah, but feel free. I'd love to hear about, you know, so as you're working with creatives and kind of the initial onboarding process, or for a lot of creatives that are listening, they might not have yet dived as deep into systems and processes that they'd like. It's if I know my audience, which I feel like I do because they're like me, it's at the top of their to-do list, but it keeps getting pushed down because other things keep kind of going to the top, but it is a high priority for them. I'd love to hear about kind of how you work with people or some tips that you have for someone to just like move the needle a little bit to start to get that in flow.
Yeah, I know how overwhelming it can be to think like, hey, I have to do like all these things at once, but you don't have to, right? Like, I usually always say, so I always talk about the five phases of your client journey. So inquiry, booking, onboarding, fulfillment, and offboarding. Start at the beginning. Start where you feel comfortable. Maybe you can still do some things manually at first until you get, okay, hey, I'm good with this. Now I'm ready to automate it and then go to the next step, right? So from that initial inquiry point, that can probably be the most important, you know, moment of, hey, whether it's somebody hopping in your DMs or they're on your website and they decide that they want to inquire to work with you, how easy are you making it for them to begin working with you, right? So a couple of things that I always like to do, I do qualify my leads. I have a, you know, higher price point for some of my for my signature service. But I want to make sure that I'm not wasting your time, right? Like I'm, you know, one of my brand values is transparency. So I'm going to have my price points up front on my site. But then also as you fill out my application, it's a, hey, this is the starting price point. Are you going to be ready to secure this deposit within 3 days? Yes or no? If you say no, no hard feelings. That's totally fine. But you at least know up front, right? But the moment they complete that application, they're redirected to a site, a hidden page on my site with a video of me. So I like to call my my initial calls decision calls now. So I like to have that video just really tell them a little bit more about me, who I am, what I do, why I love what I do, and then say, hey, here's what you can expect next. So that's kind of a little way to kind of sprinkle in like, hey, okay, I see what she's about, right? Like, I like that. I get a lot of clients to say, I really loved that initial process, right? Of that way of just, you know, hey, you didn't get an email and then get another email. It's no, here's me. For, you know, in the meantime, click the link below, follow me on Instagram so we can connect and go from there. And then they know that the next email that they receive is the one that they need to keep an eye out on, right? Then from there, going into the booking process. So closing the sale, I know I feel like that's probably the first thing most business owners work on is how to close the sale, right?
Yeah, because you have to send the contract, the invoice, there's so many, yep. All these documents and paperwork.
All the things. Right, right. So, you know, how can you make yourself stand out, right? I know, especially in just our online space now and the market in general, how can you find ways to make yourself feel, you know, look and feel unique compared to all the other people that do what you do, right? So one thing I like to do is, hey, you book a decision call 24 hours before. It's not just a, hey, you know, your call's coming up, but it's a, I'm so excited to work with you. This is what you can expect to happen on our call. Hey, here's a link to my service guide so you can check things out and be prepared to jump in when we get on the call, right? When we send the proposal, if you have a higher price point, maybe you send a custom video. So you're like, hey, I loved talking to you. You told me that this was your issue. This was your issue. Here's how I feel this service can help solve that. And let's get it done. Let's make it official, right? And then on to onboarding, which I feel it's probably the most time consuming for a lot of people. You know, like you send off a proposal, you sign a contract, you get paid, and now what? Mm-hmm. I always like to say, like, don't just make your client feel like you took their money and ran.
You, like, ghosted them. That's
right.
Yeah,
right.
And I think that's sometimes part of the struggle with building out these processes. It's like you want to make sure that the onboarding part, the part before you actually work with them, that, like, that needs to have care and attention to it. Because, yeah, as, yep, a client, if all of a sudden you're like, wow, I feel like everything was good, what, and now all of a sudden I haven't, yeah, heard from you.
Right, right. And I think that can also really help kind of establish, like, if that client wants to work with you again, right? Mm-hmm. Or if they want to tell all their friends or peers about you. So I'm always going to say, you know, give some sort of instant gratification of, hey, I received your deposit. This is what you can expect to happen next. Whether it's a client experience guide or just a quick note of like, hey, I'm getting started preparing for our time together, but I just want you to know I got you. Right? So just kind of, you know, as you walk through each of those phases, you know, whether it's you're doing this for the first time, trying to figure out what you want that process to look and feel like, you know, you could even think back to some of the best and worst experiences that you've had with other service providers, right? Like, what do you want that to feel like? I always tell people to, yeah, okay, document what you have now, but also document your dream process steps. Like, if, you know, money wasn't an issue, time wasn't an issue, tech wasn't an issue, what do you want to have happen? Okay, and then we can go figure out how to make that actually happen. So, you know, really starting at each of those individual phases will really help you to just gain a little bit more confidence too. And you can say, okay, maybe you're spending a lot of time responding to leads. Maybe automate that first, right? or you're spending a lot of time chasing down invoices, automate that first, you know, but really kind of dive into each step of the way. And then you can kind of step back and say, well, I've done it all now. You know, it wasn't as bad as or as painful as I thought it was.
Yeah. And I especially love that because one of the things I hear from people is they're afraid to automate because they don't want it to feel automated. And it's really interesting because I feel like, you know, especially the part that I think is the most noticeable for automation is the inquiry process, because usually if they get an immediate email, right? But also think about as a potential client. Do you care that it's an automated email that you're getting?
Right.
Probably not. Because if they're giving you information or they're giving you some sort of, here's what you can expect, here's what we're going to do, you really don't care because it also makes you feel like, oh, like they have like a process in place, you know?
Yeah.
So
yep.
I feel like sometimes people have this hesitation, but it's like, you know, challenge that thought of, is that really a bad thing? Is it a bad thing that they're getting automated emails in the beginning, and your emails throughout the rest of the process don't have to feel automated? It could just feel like you're sending them information. But yeah, challenging, and it's not necessarily a bad thing in, you know, in the beginning to have it feel like it's maybe a bit of an automation.
Yeah. And I would definitely say also just consider your email copy in general, right? Like I've had several automated emails that people respond back to like, oh, thank you so much for sending this, right? Like I want it to feel like I sat down at that moment and wrote it, even though I was in bed or, you know, on the beach, whatever. But, you know, just because it's automated, it doesn't have to feel that way. I do, with using Dubsado, I'm able to kind of delay certain things to happen. So, you know, maybe right after they book, you know, maybe I'll wait like 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, just like I want it to feel right. You know, like I want it to feel like it wasn't, you know, hey, immediately or whatever. And so with a lot of tools, you can customize those things, but especially in your email copy, I think it's the best place to be like, hey, you know, show your personality and not like a, you know, a robot sent it.
Yeah.
Even though it's okay if it does, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can still infuse so much of your personality into it. And I noticed too, because like I said, when I recently just did this for myself, it really forced me to figure out it. I had to get so much clarity on what do I want this process to look like for me? And I feel like that clarity leads to so many other It leads to a lot more confidence in your offers because you know what they're going to be getting. It leads to maybe being able to set better boundaries because you have clarity around what the process looks like and what it includes, what it doesn't include. So I feel like, yeah, just even outlining, even if you if you're like, oh, this sounds so great, but I'm not ready to go all in on automation. It's like just outline, like literally on a Google Doc, just outline your whole process. Do you have any tips for anyone who's kind of at that point and it's like for how to break down? Okay, what is it that I provide and how can I write this out in a way that doesn't feel overwhelming?
Yeah. So you mentioned boundaries, which is key. Like that setting boundaries, defining boundaries, the first, you know, defining boundaries has been crucial for me to be able to create a business and run it the way that I want to, right? So I worked in a 9-to-5 where I was in meetings from 7 to 7 or 6 to 7, right? And I didn't want that in my own business anymore. I didn't want to have calls every single day of the week, right? I didn't want to be available every single day of the week. So I said, okay, if I can show up, you know, be on calls Tuesdays and Fridays, and then Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, I can be in a rope all day if I want to, right? So I really started there. I kind of backed my way into my processes by saying, what life do I want to live, right? Like I want my business to revolve around my life, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be, you know, I don't want to feel the way I felt in corporate where I was miserable and, you know, felt like I, you know, couldn't do what I wanted to do. No, I want that freedom. That's why I started this business. So laying out those boundaries first and then finding ways to enforce them. Mm-hmm. So things like, you know, setting an autoresponder. I have a CEO day every Wednesday. It's the day that I work on my business, not in it. I don't do any client work. I ignore emails. It's like the most freeing day for me. I sleep in. I might, you know, go treat myself to Starbucks. I might go hang out in the library, but that's when I'm creating content or, you know, writing emails or, you know, doing my bookkeeping, whatever, but it's my day, right? So I turn on an autoresponder and I say, hey, you know, whoever emails, thanks today, I won't get back to you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, right? Yeah. And then even, you know, when it comes to my onboarding process, I send out a client experience guide as soon as they book. So it says, I walk through those same boundaries. This is when I'm available. This is when I'm not. You know, and I've never had a client challenge that. They always fully respect it because I at least made my boundaries clear, you know?
And that's, I think, the key is that when you don't establish it, it gets real muddy then when, like, if you say for the first bit, you're just really great at responding emails every couple of hours and then they build the habit that that's your response time and then you don't. And that, so, yeah, really getting clear up front is, like,
crucial. Yeah, or sending emails in the middle of the night. Like, I know we're all guilty. We work late at times, right? Use that schedule to send feature, you know? Like, so I really think, like, if you start with what business do I want to build? Yeah. What do I want my boundaries to be? Okay, now, you know, build your processes around that, right? So again, from that initial inquiry point, booking, onboarding, fulfillment, and offboarding, like, look at them all separate and individually. Don't feel like you have to tackle everything at once, but start with the boundaries first. Mm-hmm. Then work on, okay, how can I go enforce these things? And then just, again, I always like to say, you know, you can go look at these, you know, million, seven-figure businesses or, you know, look at other experiences that you've received and just kind of take nuggets from those, right? Of, you know, hey, I worked with a brand and web designer and I really, really liked how she did this or, you know, where my client portal was, right? Take those nuggets and then make them unique to you and you put your secret sauce on it so that it feels good. But don't feel like you have to do it all at once. Kind of start, you know, in one particular area and then kind of go from there.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. And yeah, and even just things like writing out, you know, write out all of the emails that you normally write, put everything into one place, like just start gathering all your stuff into one and then you can start to kind of build it as you grow.
I hear so many people say, like, well, I don't have processes. Like, you have processes, you just don't have them documented. Right? Like, they exist, right? It's just getting it out of your head. So, you know, from the emails perspective or even just, you know, hey, I want to send a detailed proposal, right? Like, what does that look like? What do you want to showcase in that? Do you want to show your portfolio or do you get common questions? I think a lot of what I usually try to do at least like once a year is go back in my onboarding form. I ask, why did you decide to work with me? Why did you feel now was the time? And then I take nuggets of that and try to sprinkle it throughout my process, right? Or when you send a testimonial at the end of like, hey, what worked well? What didn't work well, right? I worked with a service provider who, after certain phases, she sent me a testimonial, right? Like, of, hey, we just kicked off. How did you feel about that? What was that, you know, kickoff phase for you like? How did you like the call? Do you, you know, how are you feeling now, right? So you can implement little things like that to take and, you know, improve your process. Maybe it's, hey, okay, I tried this. This didn't work too well, right? But, and also don't be afraid to change. Mm-hmm. I see so many people that are like, well, I've defined this process.
This is my,
like,
process.
This is what it is. Yeah. But no, like, don't be afraid to evolve and adapt and change. Something that may have worked, you know, in 2022 may not work now, right? You know, again, our industries and our markets are changing so much. Tech is changing, how we, you know, consume things are changing. So it is totally okay to try something out. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always gonna stop and ask myself, like, how does, like, if this doesn't feel good to me, I'm not gonna put all of my energy and effort into it. So why do it?
Yeah, And I know for me too. So for example, when I was just building out my new process, I was like, you know what? Some of these can be automated, but some of these I'm just going to leave on manual, like manual approve and then send after. And I feel like that was a nice little intro to, okay, everything's here. It's like all ready to go, but it'll also help me build the habit of checking into the CRM and using that every day as like, okay, here's what needs to be done. And like having one place where everything's kind of documented and then being able to move everything through. Cause I feel like for a long time, I struggled. I'd never used my CRMs as like actual process things. I would always manually write everything in a notebook or whatever, but the process of having to do that just takes more time. And like, I'm just wasting brain energy on having to think about all of that. And so, yeah, finding tools to your point that, you know, will help support whatever it is that you need to do. Maybe it's just manually getting everything in there and manually sending it. Maybe it's having something that links to your CRM that like shows you, hey, here's what you need. But like finding out what is it? How do you work? What's the type of support that you need? Yeah. And how can you kind of build that into your process?
Yeah. A good example is my offboarding process. So I do it manually now, right? So after we wrap up their implementation day, I have a kickoff call or a wrap-up call. And then they get about 3 weeks of support from there. I like to always make sure I'm checking in. I have, you know, emails written for the 1 week check-in and 2 week and hey, your support's about to end. But I like to manually send those because they may have already reached out with questions. They may have, you know, said, hey, this is working well, or hey, how can I do this, right? And so I always want to custom tailor that, even though I have like a structure in place. I want to kind of custom tailor it a bit to say, hey, you know, I saw you testing out your workflows. I saw you, you know, creating these tasks. Like, how is that going? Does that still feel good to you? I saw this new lead come in. How's that going, right? So even though it's manual, I still have the process in place, right? Like, I have the emails documented. I know when and how I want to send them, but I just make sure that it's unique and it's custom to that particular client. And again, I think that goes back to finding ways that really just helps you to show your own unique and secret sauce to that client too, and makes them want to continue working with you. Or, you know, when you're done, they're still on this high and they're telling all their friends why they should come work with you too. So, you know, even, you know, it doesn't have to be automated, and, you know, you can take those manual things, but you still have the process in place, the templates, the resources available, and you know when to go take action on those things.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd love to touch on, I know you've kind of already sprinkled this in a little bit throughout the interview, but kind of how the relationship is between these systems and processes and referrals and building a business. Because I'd be curious how that has helped your business grow in like by implementing systems and processes, having referrals, either return clients or people who are just like telling people left and right, like, you need to work with this person, versus, you know, the energy that we end up having to put into getting new clients.
Yep. I have infused the referral process into offboarding, right? So I always like to make sure that clients know how we can continue working together. So before support is over, I'm like, hey, you know, your support ends on X day, but we can keep the party going, right? And this is how. And so then after, you know, I built in reminders in my project management tool to say check in 30 days, check in 60, check in 90, right? So that you're always still top of mind. But about the 30-day mark, I usually send out an email that says, hey, can I give you $100? And so, you know, whether it's you decide, hey, I want to incentivize this past client by giving them a discount to work with me next time or giving them money. I prefer money because
who doesn't like money?
But I make it, you know, I try to make it as easy as possible for them to send people my way, right? So it's, hey, I loved working with you and I would prefer to work with more people like you. Mm-hmm. So here's how I can give you $100 for every single person you send my way, right? I give them swipe copy. So they get, you know, my picture, they get a, you know, a snippet that they can put in an email. They get a, caption that they could put in, you know, on an Instagram post or in a story. So I try to make it as easy as possible for, hey, here's a bunch of resources all about me that you can just take and share. And so I want them to feel like they're a part of a club or, you know, an insider's group. So then I also send out, you know, monthly partner check-ins. Hey, this is what's new with me. What's going on with you? How can I support you in your business, right? I'm really big on, you know, when I see my clients in the wild doing awesome things, sharing, you know, more and more about them too. And so it just always kind of helps to keep me at the top of their mind, sending monthly, you know, just partner emails. So they're getting the inside scoop of what's happening, new offers that I'm launching before I launch them to the public. I usually do about once a quarter, like double affiliate months. So it's, can I give you $200? Right? Like, I got goals. I know you got goals. So, you know, so just making it easy. And, you know, on my initial lead capture form, I just ask, you know, if you were referred by a friend, who can I thank? Mm-hmm. And all they have to do is say, hey, I was referred by Krista. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, cool. I get a lot of people sometimes that I get referred by people that I'd never met, right? So yeah. By them dropping their name or business name or whatever there, that then gives me the opportunity to go follow up and say, hey,
thank you
so great much. Great to meet you. How can we keep this going, right? So always, you know, starting with past clients, and even if it's something, you know, you haven't done, if it's a client from a year ago, whatever, right? But send an email. Maybe you do a, hey, I just want to catch up. How are things going, right? Sending a quick email to schedule a 30-minute coffee chat. Send them a, hey, Starbucks on me, right? One thing I do, once somebody does sign up for the referral program, I say, hey, if you share about me on your Instagram story in the next week, I'll send you coffee on me. So all they have to do, they share a post and then I send them a link. Do you want Starbucks? Do you want Dunkin'? You know, what do you want? Right. But again, it's like, you know, it's who doesn't want free coffee too? Yeah. Right. So just finding ways, you know, I've had some clients that they don't necessarily want to give money, but maybe it's half off a VIP day with me or 15% off a product in my shop, those types of things. Right. Just something that lets your past clients know you appreciate them. You appreciate them sending people your way because they do the hard work for you. And all you have to do at that point is show up and smile and close the sale.
Exactly. And I love that the way that you talked about that, it just feels so natural. Like there's nothing, you know, it's like just, hey, here's how this works. Here's all this stuff that I'm going to give you. Like you're inviting people into it. And it's just like, doesn't have to be this thing. Like, I think sometimes we're like, oh, I don't like, this feels weird. It's like when we have to talk about ourselves, we're like, oh, this right. feels weird. And it's like, but no, like just make it really easy for them. Cause some of the reasons why people aren't sharing is cause we aren't making it easy or we're not making it as clear on how they can do it in a really easy way. And as you were saying that too, it also made me think kind of when you were talking about sending out partner emails and continuing that connection after, I was thinking about for anyone who's listening, who's specifically a wedding photographer, any photographer, but specifically wedding photographers, because I feel like I sometimes hear from wedding photographers like, oh, but, you know, they're only getting married once and like, you know, they may have friends who are getting married, but they're not getting married at this point in time. And it's like the thing, I love what you just shared about a, hey, here's this post that you can put up, like literally about, not just about the photos and your wedding, but like, here's something that I would love and I can gift you whatever it is to be able to share this. And that's going out to their entire Facebook or Instagram community. And also with the partner kind of check-in idea is, you know, are you this, and this is twofold. Are you creating blog posts that are relevant to newly married couples, right? Are you creating things that are like, here's these fun date night ideas. Here's, I don't know, whatever, like anything that you can think of that could be interesting to people and sending those emails. Maybe it's like once a month, maybe it's once every 2 months, but kind of, again, that idea of here I am, here's a fun blog post for you, here's how you can share my information, like just a nice little thing. And you're also blogging, which is also going to help with your SEO and all of that. So it's like, there's so many things that you can do, like that are a little bit out of the box that maybe other people aren't doing, but they will be very helpful.
For sure. Definitely. Definitely. And I also, so I also have affiliate partners. I consider them a little different from referrals. So affiliate partners are, you know, complementary businesses. So, one partner is a business coach. Another is a, brand and web designer, right? So, you know, if her client base will benefit from my services and vice versa, it's even more of an easier sale. Mm-hmm. So with the affiliate partners, they'll get an even higher bonus. So, you know, past clients will get $100. Affiliate partners will get 10% of an invoice. Mm-hmm. I don't mind, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh my God, that's a lot of money. It is. But again, I didn't have to do the selling.
Right. This is the client that's right? coming like, to me. Like,
that's ready, you yeah. know, that's ready yeah. to get it going. And so, you know, I have about 3 affiliate partners, but I, you know, did the due diligence of networking and, you know, meeting people to kind of feel like, okay, I like her vibe. I think mm-hmm. we'd work well together, and go from there. And so that just helps so, so much of not having to feel like you know, you have to go full speed every month, putting a bunch of content out there to generate all these new leads. And when you have people in your corner supporting you, doing the hard work for you, mentioning you on, you know, in groups and on social media or whatever, it just makes things so, so much easier. And, you know, even if it's not money, if you have just a way to incentivize them, you know, again, a discount for a future service with you, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. It can definitely go a long way.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I think it's so important. And in the wedding industry, I think people are like, oh, is that okay to do? Of course it's okay to do. And I think the key thing is finding, like, you're not going to want to be in a, you're not going to, I always tell people, I'm like, be really intentional with how you go about it, though. Like, you don't want to just like approach anybody and be like,
anybody.
Yeah, affiliate. Like, that's yeah. maybe when it starts to feel kind of a little strange. But yeah, if you find someone who's like, to your point, right, especially if you're doing events together or anything, like, I love this person and I would love to continue working with them. Like, you can also gift the client something if you want it to feel like the client is also benefit. Like, you can make this whatever you want it to do. But yeah, but it's normal. Like, this is something that is like a normal business practice.
Definitely. And it will save you so much energy yeah. in the long run. So yeah
and sure. also your affiliate person, right? If someone's not actually a good fit, they're not going to recommend you. So it's not like the person is going to be like, you must work with this person. Like
yeah.
if it's the yep. right affiliate and they know, like, you know, they'll let their clients know like what's a good fit.
Yeah. And I'm also big on too of just in building community with peers. Right. So, I may get a lead that, you know, whether it's, hey, they just decide, okay, I'm, you know, not in their budget, or, you know, I just truly feel that, hey, I can't support you as much as I thought I could, right? I usually work with mostly service-based businesses. I'll get some people that still inquire if they're a product-based business, right? This is not my area of expertise, but I have a peer who has a product-based business and a service-based business and would be great for you, right? So building that community of, hey, I don't even, you know, necessarily need or want the referral dollars, but hey, here's someone I can send you a client that's qualified that I think would be a good fit, and building that network of people that I can kind of refer out to. Yeah. And that has been really great for my business too, because I get a lot of people that, you know, reciprocate mm-hmm. that. So yeah, they're like, hey, I'm either, right. They're booked. And... Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, I'm top of mind of, hey, this is someone that I know can help you, and go from there. So whether it's, you know, past clients, it's complementary businesses or peers, like, that just building community is yeah. huge, especially in, you know, as a service provider in general. It, you know, It pays for itself.
It does. And it's an art that I feel like is kind of dimmed a little bit. People aren't really going out and like making connection now is just people DMing people on Instagram. And it's like, no, you actually want to like get out into your community and meet people. And yeah, and they'll introduce you to people who maybe aren't local, like their friends that they have. But it's like that type of connection is going to be so much stronger than just being on the internet. There's something that, I mean, granted, one of my like really good friends I met off Instagram, but that's like a different, you know, she's like a friend, you know, getting out there and really builds a lot of other things. I've multiple other podcasts that talk about that, but this was so good. Do you have any kind of final last little nuggets for people around, you know, if it's been at the top of their list and they're like, okay, you know, I need to do this. I'm going to do something today, Ashley. Like, what is it? Like, what's your advice for me?
Yeah. I would say just start anywhere, honestly. When it comes to, you know, think of your biggest pain points. What is driving you insane? What are you spending the most time on? And start there. So don't feel like you have to tackle everything at once. Don't feel like you have to, you know, systemize your life overnight, because it's not realistic. It's not sustainable either, right? So focus on your top two biggest pain points that, you know, you feel you're struggling with, either, you know, how you manage your clients, how your clients experience working with you, or just managing the back end of your business, right? The admin things. Focus there, pick two things and start there. I do have a free 3-day systems challenge that I would love to share with you guys. I'll walk through just my core framework of how I approach every single client. So starting with, you know, auditing your systems, auditing your processes, documenting what do I want my business to look and feel and grow like? And then, okay, what are the collateral items that I need to go implement that? And then, okay, what tools do I need then to go implement that? So, you know, always going back to having systems and processes that you love and finding a tool that enables those processes. Don't find a tool and have to force your processes into those. So if there's ever anything that I can do to help you guys, I'm an open book when it comes to good systems and processes. I'm always just a DM away. So definitely feel free to come find me over on Instagram at solution.integrators. I'm always sharing as much nuggets and you know, tips and tricks and things that I can over on Instagram as well. So I'd love to connect with you guys.
Awesome. I love that so much. And I'll share the link to your challenge in the show notes below. So for anyone who wants to click on it, I highly, highly recommend. And I'll also share your Instagram so people can connect with you there too.
Awesome.
One last thing before you go. I'd absolutely love it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you've already left a review, I'd love for you to share this episode with your business bestie. I love getting to shout out my listeners on the show. And the more listeners that we have, the more that I can help others create a thriving and sustainable business too. Thank you so much again for being a part of this community. And I can't wait to hear your takeaways from today's episode.